stopped in Hebrews 11, verse 6. So we just go back to verse 1, kind of do a little review, and then we will start to move through chapter 11 of Hebrews. I'll pray first, then we'll jump right into it. Father, I will glorify you as always. We honor you in how you lead and guide us and just deal with us on a daily basis. We need you in every way. We just don't count it lightly. Your presence, and we just appreciate how you guide us on a daily basis. We can't thank you enough. In the name of Yehoshua, who is also obedient, and we appreciate and love him very much too. Anything we do pray, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, I'm going to kind of fit this up from a perspective of review. remember as Elder had pulled up, you had pulled up Romans 1 to help us with the understanding, because we had came from the Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. What? Oh, Romans 1, yeah. We had Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." We understand that that this is in reference to Christ, obviously, especially when it's talking about the perspective of salvation. So we have faith. We have faith in Yah, and through the gospel of Christ, through the redemptive work of Christ, we now can go boldly before Yah. So when you look at chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, it rolls into chapter 11. So you have the same thought from the perspective of faith when we enter into chapter 11, and that's how we truly understand it. But as we had discussed, most preachers, I used to do it also, but most preachers start at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is something hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And from that, people think that they can use their faith for whatever they want. Whatever I desire, all I have to do is let faith be what I hope for. It's my evidence of things not seen. I can name it and claim it. I can have it based upon Hebrews 11 and 1. Well, we know that's all in reference to salvation. It's all in reference to everything that's associated with how Yah operates. But the focal point, as we look at it and deal with these things, it is about having faith in Yah and the gospel itself. Do you have Romans 1? I mean, you don't have to. I was just, if you had it, I was going to. I think it was Romans 1, verse 16. Just read verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16 again. And I'll pull it up here also so that everyone that's.
Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of Yah to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
Okay, so we live by faith, and the faith is in association with verse 16. The gospel of Christ, which brings what? The power of Yah unto salvation to everyone that believes it. So when you get in Hebrew 11, it warns that now faith is the same hope for the evidence of things not seen. It is in harmony with the rest of these passages. We can't just pull verse 1 out and just apply it to anything. We know coming from chapter 10, and I'll pull up another Bible just to show you. We know coming from chapter 10, it is talking about the same thing. So we'll look at it. We let the scriptures interpret it itself. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, and then we'll read what Elder had read. I'll get him to read that again. It'll be to your right. Romans 1 will be to your right. Hebrews 11, and for my screen, is in the center. Hebrews 10. I'll read Hebrews 10, verse 38. Then I have Elder read Romans 1, verse 16 and 17 to your right. And as we can see, this is called by faith now. I'm going to go back up to verse 37 to show us why Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us that it's the evidence of things not seen. Okay? Now, when you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to be able to really explain it. Hebrews 10, verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. We'll notice in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, it says he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. So we have a connection to reward. Then it says, but ye have need of faith. Ye have need of patience. Why would I have need of patience? Because when I get to Hebrews 11, verse 1, it is letting me know that I need to have faith, although I have no evidence. Patience needs to be connected to that. So it shows these verses are in harmony, and we're not just throwing faith out there for any little thing. We're trying to get a car, a house, and all these other things. We have to keep in harmony with what the scripture is teaching us about faith. Verse 36 says, but ye have need of patience. That's why in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it is the evidence of things not seen. Patience makes you say, regardless of what I see, I don't have to see anything. I trust Yah that he is going to do what he said that he's going to do. What did he say that he's going to do? You connect verses Romans 1 and 16 and 17. And so I'm going to continue on. Then I have elders read those again. Then we'll jump into Hebrews 11, verse 1. So Hebrews chapter 10, to the left of my screen here, it says, verse 35, says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of Yah, ye may receive the promise. What promise? What promise? Well, we know that promise is Christ. It is Christ that brings us redemption. It is the covenant that he has made with the house of Israel and Judah. And again, we'll see as the elder read Romans 1 and 16 and 17, it is the doctrine of Christ that brings salvation. The scripture says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. So that means that I should have faith, although I don't have tangible evidence. So that when we start reading Hebrews 11 now, we understand in verse 2 why the elders obtained a good report. Okay? Now, verse 36 of Hebrews 10 says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of Yah, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Patience now, faith, okay? Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if any man don't have patience and don't continue therein, don't have the confidence in what Christ has made available, if any man doesn't continue therein, then Yah said, I'll draw. If any man draw back from me, I have no pleasure in him. So we have to understand that in this faith walk, we have to be patient. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith in Christ, faith in Yah, faith in Christ to get to Yah is my hope. Although I don't have any tangible evidence to show that salvation has been physically placed in my hand, per se. My faith is what keep me committed. My faith is what keep me dependent upon Yah, even when times are tough. Because most people be like, okay, well, since I'm saved, then wonderful things ought to happen for me all the time. No, times may get tough just because you're saved. And through that faith and patience, you say, okay, I don't see anything, but I still trust Yah. Yeah, I don't see your hand moving for me. I still trust Yah. I still trust in His Son. I still know that salvation, I'm a child of Yah. I'm still going to the throne of Yah with confidence, even though I see no tangible evidence that anything is going to happen. My confidence is still in Yah. I'm patient about it. I have a saying, I'm willing to wait forever. I'm willing to put my trust in Yah. I will wait forever. And then I like to say, boy, if you have that mindset, you won't be waiting too long. I will wait forever. I'm patient. We all are supposed to be patient. Have confidence no matter what. I don't care how I look. I trust Yah. My confidence is in Yah. I know I have a Savior who has made it possible for me to come to the Father. And I come boldly, but I'm patient. Yah, I can wait. I can be patient. You made that promise that through the Son I have salvation. I can endure whatever I need to endure because I know at the end of the road I experience my salvation through Christ that is the Son. Verse 37 of Hebrews 10 says, "For yet a little while, and He shall come. For yet a little while, and He that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's because that individual is not living by faith. Verse 39 again says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." It lets us know what happens. We draw back. If anyone draw back, they're headed toward destruction. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So since we are not those who draw back, you get into Hebrews 11 now, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Elder Wood was Romans 1:16-17 again. It's to the right of
not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of Yah revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
The righteousness of Yah is revealed. So we look at the promise, we are made righteous through Christ. We all are to stand for the gospel of the kingdom. It is the power that brings about me. That brings about salvation. And that's what we hope for. I don't use Hebrews 11 and 1 to hope for a car, a house, a money. I don't use Hebrews 11. My faith is in what the scripture tells me my faith should be about when it comes down to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. My faith is in that I have salvation through Christ. I have now access to the Father through Christ. And because of that, I can be patient. I can endure anything. I can stand no matter what. I don't care how tough it gets. I don't care what I'm going through. I don't care how sick I am in my physical body. It doesn't matter what's going on. I trust Yah for my salvation. I don't need to see anything. Now, with those things in mind, we're ready for Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 2 now. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By faith they obtained a good report. Now we look at this now. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of Yah, so that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. When you look at verse 3, it goes back to Genesis chapter 1. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of Yah. That's why when you get in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah." John chapter 1, this is talking the exact same thing. I'm going to pull that up. this is not talking about Christ, John chapter 1. This is confirming what Hebrews 11 verse 3 is saying. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You have people that take the Word and make it Christ in verse 1. No, the Word doesn't become Christ until verse 14. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Until the Word was made flesh, the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Like the same way my words are with me until I speak them. And so we see the same thing to confirm that in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yah. If verse 1 in John chapter 1 was Christ, then Hebrews 11 verse 3 would have said, through faith we understand that the world were framed by Christ. No, the word was framed by the word of Yah. We go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to pull up another Bible just to show you this is the truth. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, Yah created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of Yah moved upon the face of the water, and Yah said, let there be light, and there was light. Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of Yah. Yah said it, it became what he said. Okay. Christ exists through the spoken word of Yah. That's why verse 14, John 1, in the middle of the screen, it says, and that word became flesh. Verse 14. That's why verse 13 says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but Yah, of Yah. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? Yah is God all by himself, and everything was created by the spoken word that came out of his mouth. Even Christ was made by the, or created by the spoken word that came out of Yah's mouth. Okay? Christ is not God. He is the Son of God. Okay? Now, as we look at these, as we look at this again, Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of Yah. So that things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Verse 4, now, by faith Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why was he righteous? You go back to verse 10. We go back to verse 10. I'm going to show you why Abel was righteous. What does verse 39? Hebrews 10 verse 39 says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Why was Abel righteous? Because he didn't draw back from Yah. Why was Cain considered unrighteous when you look in Genesis, I believe it's Genesis 4. Why was Cain unrighteous? Because he drew back from Yah. And so when we look at Abel, in Hebrews 11, verse 4, he is an example of what faith is about. Faith is trusting in Yah. So it's given Abel as an example to show that he trusted Yah. He didn't draw back from Yah. And because of that, he's written in the scripture being an example of what faith is about, what faith is like. Okay? Through faith, verse 4, by faith, verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto Yah a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yah testifying of his guilt, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And you have to go look at what the scripture when Cain asked, when Yah had Cain war with his brother, he said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And Yah said, "His blood is crying out from the ground." You know, he had Cain had killed his brother. So that's what that is referring to. Verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because Yah had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Yah." How do you please Yah? How do we please Yah? Don't draw back. How do we not draw back? Keep our faith in Christ. Keep our faith in Christ, that Christ has made it available for us to go to the Father and be bold about it. We can have confidence in it. That's how we please it, okay? All of these had testimony that they pleased Yah. They had some form of testimony. And that's why it says in verse 5, Enoch had this testimony before he was taken up. Enoch pleased Yah so much that Yah just said, "Come on, help me, just come on." That's what it means by translation, okay? Or translated in translation, that's what it means. He's caught up. Then it goes on to say that he pleased Yah. Then it says in verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to Yah must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Okay? So when we quit drawing near to Yah, when we quit, depending upon Yah, having our trust in Yah, faith in Yah, then Yah said you can't believe it. If you're gonna expect me to give you the promise by which, yes. The question you asked is, how do you trust Yah? I was drinking now, so you remember the example that I used when I was saying that if you stand up, and I just used that example, I said, if you stand up, just fall back. And you fell back without having any hesitation, and you completely fall back having faith that I'm going to catch you. Remember the examples I used? That gives you an example of how you trust in Yah. So to put that in connection with Yah, it's like let me just ask quickly, what is it that you would like to accomplish? Okay. You would like to have a better relationship with Yah. So in order to do that, it's going to take complete reliance upon it. So I'm going to use myself for an example. Now, you can jump in here if you need to. I'm going to use myself for an example. In order for me to have a better relationship with Yah, then I am going to have to position myself where I can fall backwards in every circumstance that I'm in, and put my complete trust that he's going to be there to assist me. You see what I'm saying? So what? Okay, I got it. So what? Huh?
I got a question.
Go ahead. On the
same line. So, because I'm going to ask the other side of that coin. How do you
Hold your question, and I'm going to get to the
I want to get to the thing that came to mind. It's like when you go to bed at night, you trust in God that you're going to wake up in the morning, right? So you don't go to bed doubting that you're not going to wake up, right? So that's, I look at that as a way of trusting God, because I trust God that he's going to allow me to wake up. And to do the freedom, if I trust, I just trust him that it's going to be.
I'm gonna give you my perspective along the same vein of that. I trust Yah whether I wake up or not.
Yeah.
When I put my trust in Him, what I am saying is, whichever way you see it, is what's best for me. Whether I wake up or not wake up, but at the same time, she is correct that you can trust in God that He's gonna wake you up. But I'm showing you how to completely rely on Yah. When you completely rely on God, you're not looking for a specific outcome. It's okay, but when you completely trust in God, you're saying, whichever way you want to steer me, you want to steer me out, I die tonight, and that's let your will be done. If you want to steer me and I wake up in the morning, let your will be done. My trust is completely in you, and whichever way you allow it to come at me, I trust it. Whether I'm going down the road and I lose my leg in a car accident, my trust is completely in you, and whatever happens to me, my trust is completely there, and I know that you got me in every circumstance. I trust you. Period. I don't need a specific outcome. What I'm saying is, any outcome, I trust you, y'all. That's complete reliance. That's complete trust. That if somebody, it is like this. It is like you being in a position to fall backwards, knowing that you're going to be caught every time you fall backwards without any hesitation whatsoever. In any circumstance, I can just fall backwards and know that, you know, somebody's going to catch me. That's trust in God. Huh? Hold on,
then.
Go ahead.
I hear what everybody is saying, but I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. It's when I can say I trust when there is an adverse situation. I understand we have to trust them in the good or the bad, but the test of the trust comes when things are not going well. And so when things are not going well, then we have to make a decision. Are we going to get all flustered and impatient and, you know, just out of whack and just fall out and in despair and let the cares of the world overtake us? Or are we going to rely on God to know that regardless of what the situation I'm facing, no matter how difficult it may seem, I still have trust and confidence in Him that He's going to make it into a good situation for me. That's it.
Okay. Did y'all hear it? Okay. And all Mama Coach did just gave you a different perspective on trusting y'all. That's all it was. It was the same perspective as far as Tanya was concerned, and it is true that a lot of time we are put to the test. Based upon I keep hearing this scripture. The wind of God jewels. What is it? Let me just manifold temptation. I think it's in Peter. Yeah, First Peter 1:6 says, "Weren't ye great to rejoice?" This is Mama goes to talk about. It says, "Weren't ye great to rejoice through now for a season, if need be." I really like the word "need be." If need be, when you look at the word "if need be," it means for your benefit or for profit. So what the scripture lets us know in reference to what Mama Ghost is saying that is that there are times when you look at verse 7, 1 Peter 1:6-7, that there are times when there is a if need be. There are times when we are tested. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found as a praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Yahushua Mashiach. There are times when the faith is tested when it becomes necessary. When you look at the word itself, and we still, because I want to deal with it if need be, it means to make meaning to profit. I'm just trying to see if I can come consistent. In other words, it points out that there are times when things happen, just like Mama Coates is saying, that will cause our faith to be tested. That's what the word trial means. That's a trial of your faith. When you look at the word trial, it means a testing. Trustworthiness. There are times when Yah said, well, I'm gonna test your trustworthiness. Okay? That has a perspective to it. But I've been tested so much, so I'm now pulling back into what I'm saying. I've been tested so much that I don't have to be tested. Because either way it goes, I can care less. My trust is in Yah. So I don't have to be tested to see if I'm trustworthy. Okay? So I'm saying it from that. So I'm saying whatever happens to me is not a test to me. From a perspective of my faith, because either way it goes, whether it's a good circumstance or a bad circumstance, my trust is always in Yah on a daily basis. But there were times when Yah tested me from a perspective of my faith in order to get me to the point where I trusted Him. Because remember, there were times when I used to say, okay, well, one time I said, okay, Yah, if I lose my house, then I'm through with this stuff. I'm going to stop preaching and everything. Y'all was like, oh, really? We going to see. He put me to the test. Now, you don't even get that kind of stuff out of me now. Because the testing has gone on to the point where I've come to the conclusion where I'm like, okay, y'all, I trust you no matter what. Whatever way it comes, it won't come at me because it's testing my trustworthiness now. It will come at me because we know we have an enemy out there. Yah says, now, because remember, Yah says there are things that come in 1 Peter 1:6-7. I'm going to show you twofold perspective. There are things that come where Yah said, I'm testing your trustworthiness. Then you go to James, I'm going to pull it up. We ain't forgot about your question there. Then we pull up James chapter 1, and Yah changes the test now. He's talking about faith again. He says now, verse 2, James 1 and verse 2, he says, my brother, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. When you look at the word temptation, it means trials. Let me get down here. It means distant experience of evil. So it lets me know that there are two ways I can be tested. Y'all can test me to bring about my trustworthiness in Him, or the enemy can test me to try to make me fail. Either way, we know He can't do nothing that y'all don't let Him do. Y'all bottom line is sort. But I want to show you the difference now, because when you see here, it says, verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Remember, in Hebrews 11, it's the same patience that we're dealing with. Hebrews 10 and 11. Then it says in verse 4, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, that's not what I want to be. I'm going to keep reading. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah to give to all men liberally. And upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. If I lack wisdom, Yah will lead me or you on how to deal with circumstances. Keep count simple. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man, that is the same perspective as far as drawn away. a person that wavers is somebody who's drawn away. One minute they're saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Next minute they're saying, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. That's someone who's wavering. But there's a specific place I want to get to here. And so I'm going to just skip down to it for the sake of the time. Verse 13, it says, let no man say when he's tempted. When you look at the word tempted, also, it says not to be tempted, but that's the reason why it says not to be tempted, because, well, let me go to it. It says prove, that is test, that's what I'm looking for. I clicked on the wrong one. It says, let no man say when he's tempted, that means test. So when you look at test, Yah said, let no man say when he is tempted or tested, I am tested of Yah, for Yah cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempted he in the man. So we have one test, like Mama Cup mentioned. We have one test that is from a perspective of trustworthiness. Then you have another where the enemy tempts with evil to try to get us to draw back. So Yah said, when that happens, you need to know the difference. You need to know when it's me. You mentioned tempting too, did you? Or how you know we're tempting Yah? We know, so when you look, so ask your question again since we're there.
So my question was, so, and this is the question that I'm asking, just the balance, right? So, how do you not step from walking in faith and tempting Yah, right? So, an example that you use in terms of, you know, falling back, at the same time, you don't want to be like what Christ said. You would say, if it's Christ, and say, you know, if you dash your foot on stone, the angels will bear you up, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to just, like what it also said, you know, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, right? So you don't want to tempt Yah at the same time. So that's my question. How do you reconcile the difference?
Okay. Now, when you look at the difference between, so you're asking, what is the difference between someone who is walking by faith or tempting God? Is that what you're asking? How do you tell the difference?
Right.
Well, I use myself as an example. When I'm walking in faith, trusting in Yah, is when I'm dependent on Yah, since you used this word, remember, because Christ said, you know, as it is written, you don't tempt the Lord our God. So in order for me to not tempt Yah, I have to put myself in a position where I'm not going outside the boundaries of what Yah has has said to me concerning his word or what he's spoken to me. In other words, I tempt Yah when I use my righteousness or whatever for the occasion to go outside the boundaries by which the word has outside the boundaries of the word. And I'll use Christ for example. The word does say that if we dash our foot against a stone, or if there's some form of a, I'm gonna say it this way, kind of make it in simple form. The word does say if there is an accidental situation, then the scripture says Yah will aid us. Now I tempt him because I know that he'll aid me, and I go put myself in a situation. Now I'm tempting Yah. I know that Yah is my protector, but because Yah is my protector, I don't go out driving crazy and running all in front of cars and running out in the middle of the street or jumping off buildings and stuff like this. But I'm saying, I know the scripture said that Yah is going to protect me. I'm tempting him now because I am taking the knowledge that I have and using it as an occasion to do something that is perverse. Yah is obligated to bring the thing to pass in my life based upon the word. He is my protector, but that doesn't give me a right now to go do foolish stuff because he's my protector. That's tempting Yah. And you get people that do this all the time. They'll say, well, Yah will supply my need. Well, we know what that really means as far as that is concerned. But people will take Philippians 4:19 that says, but my Yah shall supply all my needs. And they'll go out and start buying cars and houses, don't be more have no money to pay for it and all that. And then wondering why they all stressed out because it's not getting paid for it, because they just tempted Yah. They took the scripture now and went out and done something that was contrary to what Yah meant. Yah is my protector, but he didn't mean for us to go out and act the fool behind that. He didn't mean for us to go jump out of plane without parachuting, and we just saying, well, God don't protect me. I can just do whatever I want to. That ain't what that means. So the temptation comes in a nutshell is when we take what Yah has said out of its contextual meaning or out of its true meaning and then try to apply it to something or try to apply it to everything. That's the problem with Hebrews 11:1. We want to take it and have God's going to heal me of cancer. God's going to heal me of all these other things. Yeah, he did say that we could be healed, but that doesn't give us the mindset to go out and do whatever we want to and however we want to do it. And then now we're going to use Hebrews 11:1. That's tempting me out. Okay, so that's why I meant when I said tempting Yah is going outside the boundaries of the written word. Just because we know that we're the nation of Israel, don't give us the right to go over there and start trying to take our land back. Y'all say he's gonna give it to us. Yeah, he said it. I can go to the scripture and show you that he said it. But I'm tempting him now when I go over there and try to do something that he has said with my own will. And you got Israelites that's trying to do that. Put themselves in harm's way. Okay?
So I just want to come in.
Go ahead.
Not that I didn't understand, I just asked the question.
Okay. Okay.
But I want to piggyback on that and say that this, so, because me and you had this conversation, so, along these lines, right? So if I'm, so the things that we talk about, you know, faith is,
complete trust.
No, I was looking at verse 18 of what I read in Romans 1:16.
Okay, let me pull it back up here. I got four Bibles up, y'all. So Romans 1 is at the top left side. Romans 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Well, it is the power of Yah to salvation to everyone that believes, right? So it's kind of like this. When I'm operating in that vein of things and I'm operating in Yah's will according to those things, if something comes to me, mm-hmm. then I don't have to worry about anything happening to me along those lines. But I trust Yah that whatever happens,
right.
he got me taken care of along those lines. So whatever that is, if I'm operating according to what he has ordained me to do, and something great or whatever, I trust Yah that, okay, this is happening, you know, he allowed it to happen, it's happening for a reason, right? But by the same token, let's say I'm operating according to that will. And I use the example of when I'm trying to remember who the prophet was that was on the wall, building the wall. Was it Noah that was building the ark and the people came? Anyway, besides the point. So the person was, they were doing what they were supposed to do, and the people came and gave him trouble. And so from that perspective, when that's the case, you don't have to worry about anything. Y'all going to be
there. Yeah, that's
but by the same token, I can't go out because I know y'all protect me. Now I'm going to start to fight a burden because I know y'all going to protect me. That's the difference. That's just the y'all.
Right.
So if I'm doing whatever I'm supposed to and whatever go down, I'm in a restaurant, I'm eating. Somebody come in with a gun. Well, I can trust y'all. I didn't go looking for that. I can trust y'all that y'all going to protect me from that because I didn't come looking for that. It wasn't like I went out of my way, so whatever, you know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, I can't then say somebody's going to pull out a gun, and I'm going to go get in somebody's face. I know you got a gun, I don't care, I'm going to do this because y'all, That's the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And another example that you remember when I was in the basement and that thing flew up in my face and I was contained in that fire. I didn't go there looking to get burned up and because I didn't go there to tempt y'all with anything like that, it was a freak accident and it happened and that fire completely consumed me, but yet I didn't burn because Yah buried me up. His protection was there. Now, if I had went there and said, you know what, I'm going to go down here in this basement, and I'm going to just pour gasoline all over myself, and I'm going to take and start the thing, then I'm going to take a match and just throw it up on the thing and just have a trail coming to me. Well, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to crash and burn. So, you know, because I'm tempting Yah now. I'm going outside the boundaries by which His word said concerning me. He brought me up, left my foot dash against a stone. In other words, Yah, Christ was saying, yeah, my Father will protect me if I fall off of this high place. He'll protect me, but it's not saying I can just jump off so He can protect me. That's temptation. I'm tempting Yah. I got a 50-50 chance he's going to show up on my behalf. Y'all still can show up because he done showed up for this foolish thing. It's been some times I've been doing some stuff out of ignorance. And when it was said something, boy, y'all, you sure protect this foolish thing, boy. I was in ignorance. I was crashing and burning. I was trying to make it work and do it and all that. And when they were saying something, boy, y'all, you sure protected me. Well, that's different now. I didn't go into that, tempting y'all. I went into that in ignorance, and so we have to understand the difference. We can't just think because we're a child of God, we just go put ourselves in a circumstance. But at the same time, we have confidence knowing that if we end up in a certain circumstance, that y'all is well able and will protect us. Our complete trust is in that. So we just gave you different scenarios. The one that Tanya used, the one that Mama Coach used, all those were good examples of things concerning faith. Because there are times when we'll be tested. We look at that in 1 Peter chapter 1. There are times when it's necessary. Well, Yah said, I'm going to test your trustworthiness. You say you belong to me, I test you. I'm going to test you if you belong to me.
So let me ask you a question. When you went in that situation when there was gunfire to get that lady out of house, what was that?
When I was over in South Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, when I went over there, I went over there to get that lady. Nobody had guns and different things like that. I went over there just to get a woman who was strung out on, a church member who was strung out on crack. I just went over there to get her. Well, when I got over there, that circumstance arose while I was standing there. I'm standing there, all of a sudden, two dudes just started arguing. One pulled out a gun and just started shooting. And everybody ran, but I guess the guy who was getting shot at, he was too scared to move, and I was just standing up beside the shooter looking at him like he's crazy. And so, because I knew, I'm not afraid because I know Yah is my protector.
You ain't got to be afraid. It ain't like he said, well, I'm going to show up being bad. Right. No, it's like at the same time, we can't operate in the spirit of fear either.
Right.
That's just waiting to roll around him. You can't be like, well, I'm scared. No. He didn't ask for that. It manifests itself in his presence.
The guy got scared. The guy actually got scared because he was like, dang, everybody's running for this guy. And I guess his mindset was like, what, do we have something? Or he didn't know what to do. He was just shocked to see somebody standing there and just looking at him like he crazy. Why he doing all this shit? And it's not the first time I've done it. But every time I did it, the spirit of Yah was up on me to do it. It ain't something that I was just saying, I'm going to do this. I ain't running. I ain't scared. No, Yah was up on me. And when Yah up on me, I know ain't nothing going down. I can feel his presence when he's like that. So those are different circumstances. So you use the example of Mama Coach, First Peter chapter 1. There are times when God said, I'm going to test your trustworthiness. So I'm going to allow some circumstance to happen if need be. It is a trustworthiness. I'm going to test you. He tested Job. He tested our father Abraham. Y'all do test his faith. And then at the same time, there are times when the enemy will test, because the enemy is trying to draw us away from y'all. And so he may do it through another person. I got a test today. I was tested twice today, but by the enemy. And I saw the works of the enemy, and I addressed it accordingly. Okay? I knew that it wasn't y'all. It was the enemy trying to test me to now not trust y'all. And say, okay, y'all, you know. No. It was not even an afterthought. You know, and so we have to understand the difference between the two. There are times when y'all will test us. How do we know when it's y'all testing us?
Y'all won't tempt us with evil.
He won't tempt us with evil. That's how you know. When a test is coming and it makes you say, you know what, y'all showed up, you. I trust you. No matter what, I'm gonna put my trust in you. Whenever something is going on and it makes you look to y'all, that is him testing your trustworthiness. Whenever something going on and it's making you say, oh, I'll kill that brother. That lets you know that's evil. I ain't going to have nothing else to do with it. That's something else. That's the enemy at work now. See the difference? That's how you know the difference in who you're dealing with and what's testing you. The testing of y'all makes you say, oh, I love you, y'all. You just so wonderful. You know, I see what you're doing in my life. You making me look to you. The circumstance looked bad, as Mama Go said. The circumstance looked bad, but I saw y'all in my circumstance. I looked to y'all. I saw going to y'all. I saw crying out to y'all. That's y'all now. But if all that thing was coming on and make you say, man, God ain't nothing. I don't want to walk this walk. Forget it. We know it's the enemy working. That's evil. That's the difference between the two. That's how you know which one is being tested. That's why when she brought it up, I wanted to make sure I addressed it so that we'll know the difference between the two. Satan, evil. Yah, trustworthy. It makes you look to him. It makes you seek him. It makes you go after him more. That's how you know he's working. Uh-huh.
I was looking at Dr. Oz today.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the same thing. They went to people that was in that situation, and the doctors questioned them on what saved you, and half of the patients said it was God.
Mm-hmm.
They had two preachers on your show today. They had a Baptist preacher and a Catholic preacher,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about faith, having faith, and that's what the audience agreed on that. But doctors said, no, it's not faith. They put it in their hands and say, hey, I'm the one healed you. I'm the one brought you back.
Mm-hmm.
But the audience was saying, uh-uh, this is God.
Right.
So they was like doctors questioning God.
Mm-hmm.
On when you in the, like, they say, for instance, one girl fell out of a tree. She hit her head on three of the branches falling out of the tree. They was questioning, oh, that's not God. But the lady said, oh, yes, it was. And that was the topic of the show, faith.
Mm-hmm. And that is true, and that's why when you look at it in its purest form, that's why I always make the statement that I put my trust in no one. When I say trust, I'm talking about from a faith perspective. I trust all of you to a certain perspective. But the trust that I'm talking about when I say I put my trust in no one, you know that to be I'm talking about y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of you that are listening to my voice in one perspective or another, whether it's through some form of media, whether it's here physically, I trust you to a certain perspective. But when I start talking about I don't trust anyone but y'all, you know I'm talking about faith. I will not put my complete reliance on no one but y'all. Because although you may have good intentions, you can fail me, but y'all will never fail me. I can always fall back on him. You know, I may fall back on Elvin. He may be trying to get there, but he slipped and fell too. I was trying to get you, but I fell down too and can't get up. Even if the intentions are well. But y'all will always be there, no matter what. So when I say I trust no one but y'all, I am talking about from a faith perspective. Just have faith in y'all. My faith is in y'all alone. I don't use my faith for nothing else. I have faith in you. I don't have faith in you. I trust you to a certain extent. But when you talk about faith, y'all is the only one who can sit in that seat. Okay? The only one who can sit in that seat. And so, again, remember as we look at Romans 1, verse 16-17, and the elder read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also the Greek." It's the top portion of the left of my screen. Verse 17 says, "For there is the righteousness of Yah revealed from faith to faith, and written, the just shall live by faith." We are the just. We are justified. We are the righteous. Yah said, if you're righteous, you have to live this way. You have to live by faith. You don't pick faith at times. We don't have faith in God for certain times. And then other times we say, well, I can't trust it. Why? James 1 at the bottom left. James 1 says, let no man say, no. James 1 says, verse 6. James 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. This is the lifestyle we live in. Not wavering. Wavering, when you look at the word wavering, is like the sea going in and out. Y'all said that's what a person is like who don't completely rely on me always. They're like the wave. One minute they trusted me, the next minute they trusted something else. One minute they trusted me, the next minute they relying on themselves. Y'all said that person can't receive anything from me. Verse 7. James 1 verse 7, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. John said, if you don't have faith in me, you're going to be unstable in everything. Not some of the things, but in everything. Okay? So with that said, if we trust y'all in everything, that means we're stable in everything. Okay? My stability or our stability is in Yah. Okay? Now, as we're going to get ready to stop, we pretty much got stuck on the same verse, 1 through 6, I mean, but it's good stuff. We need to understand it from this way. Verse 6, and I'll stop again at verse 6. If someone had anything else to say, then you're welcome to do so. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, for without faith, what is that now? Complete trust, complete reliance upon Yah. Okay? Without faith, use it from Mama Cole's perspective. Without faith, without being tested, or when we're tested, we still should rely on Yah. When we're tested, when Yah is testing our trustworthiness, rely on Him, completely trust Him. Okay? As the elders mentioned, okay, we don't tempt Him with it now, because I trust Yah now, that doesn't allow us to go do foolish stuff. Because doing foolish stuff, because we know what we know that He protects us, now we're going to put ourselves in foolish circumstances. That's tempting Yah. You know, there's a chance He may not show up, because He's saying, okay, you're in the wrong perspective, and I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to step back and let you get what you got coming to you. You don't want to do that. So verse 6 again says, for without faith, it is impossible. You look at the word impossible, man. If we don't trust in Yah said it is impossible to please me. When you come to me, you have to believe that I am. And that He's the reward of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? And we'll start at verse 7 on next week. And continue on with Hebrews chapter 11. Any questions or comments at this point?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
I just wanted to share an experience. When I worked at EDS in Plano, you know, that's that big, tall, tall building out there, and it's a lot of little surrounding buildings out there. So when I drove up on campus on this particular day, it was very cloudy, and that huge, tall building that's like 10 stories high was covered with by the clouds. You couldn't see anything for the fog. And what the Lord spoke to me that day and said was, you know that building is over there. It didn't go anywhere since yesterday, but you can't see it. So he said to me, that's how you need to trust me. Even when you can't see how things are going to work out or what the outcome is going to be, we still have to trust.
That is the foundation by which we stand upon. And so when you look at it even from that perspective, as I see that, as Mama Coach saw by faith that building was still there, although she couldn't see it, that is the same way we are to know that we have access to our Father through the Son. We didn't see the Son down the cross. But yet, through faith, we know that he did, and we know that we have access to the Father because we did, and we don't need to see any evidence to show that he did what he did, or any evidence to know that we have access to the Father. We trust in that, and we know that it is there. So every time something happens now, I can go to my Father knowing that I have victory through the Son. Whether I see it physically or not, I always have victory through the Son. Because he has made it possible for me to have access or for us to have access to our Father. Now, from that standpoint, that makes life easier knowing that we're still the children of the Most High, even when we may not have evidence of certain things at this point. That's the awesome position to be in. And so that's why I'm coming full circle as I get real close. So that's why I said that when it comes down to where I am in my faith walk with Yah, I am not concerned about my life whatsoever. My trust is completely in him, and whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit, even if that's death. I have no concern for my life. My trust is in Yah. Yah got concern for my life. That's where I am with Yah. Okay. I completely trust in the God that we live for and who has freed us as to be his children. I completely trust in him, completely. Now, that doesn't give me the excuse now to be all laid back and nonchalant and say, well, I don't have to worry about the thing. You don't have to do anything. I'm just saying the word weary. I don't have to do anything. No, I live this way. So that means I carry my daily life like that. Okay? We live this way. The just shall live by faith. Everything about us should be faith. I trust that he's going to take care of me every day. I trust that he's going to protect me every day. I trust that when this is all said and done, I will see the Father and the Son, and they will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I don't have any evidence of that at this point, but I wake up every day with confidence knowing that when that day comes, I will hear those words. Why? Not because I'm something special, because my trust is in him and I know what the Son has done for me. I believe that I have faith in him. Okay? All right. Anything else? We good? Okay, we'll pray. We'll leave. Father, y'all, we do bless you again. Thank you for every every comment, every word that was given that encouraged us all to walk by faith and or to live by faith on a daily basis. We bless you for that. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given for this class so that we can continue to grow and understand how we are to be as children of the Most High God. And we thank you for our Savior who you sent to make it all possible. In his name we do pray. Amen.